Werbung.
Die gefährlichsten Dinge an der Wall Street, ja, die kommen selten mit Blaulicht. Sie kommen leise, als Euphorie, als Panik oder als dieses Mal ist aber alles anders. Und was für den Aktienmarkt gilt, das gilt fürs Internet genauso. Eine Mail der Bank, ein Paket, das angeblich nicht zugestellt werden konnte, ein Online-Shop mit einem Angebot, das fast zu gut aussieht, um wahr zu sein. Und genau da beginnt das Problem. Früher hat man Betrug im Netz noch an drei Rechtschreibfehlern und einem Prinzen aus Nigeria erkannt. Heute sehen Fake-Webseiten teilweise professioneller aus als die echten. Ein falscher Klick und plötzlich wird aus einem Schnäppchen ein ziemlich teurer Trade. Deshalb nutze ich seit Jahren NordVPN. Und wichtig, NordVPN ist längst nicht mehr nur ein klassisches VPN. NordVPN wurde zu einer digitalen All-in-One-Sicherheitslösung weiterentwickelt. Mit VPN, Antivirus der neuesten Generation und weiteren Funktionen je nach gewähltem Paket. Der Schutz setzt also nicht erst dann an, wenn die Malware schon auf dem Rechner ist. Er greift früher. Bei Phishing-Links, Fake-Shops, betrügerischen Webseiten, gefährlichen Downloads, Trackern und nerviger Werbung. Und mit dem Dark-Web-Monitor kann NordVPN dich außerdem benachrichtigen, wenn deine geleakten Daten irgendwo im Dark-Web auftauchen, damit du reagieren kannst, zum Beispiel, indem du Passwörter änderst. Für mich ist das digitales Risikomanagement. An der Wall Street fragt man ja auch nicht. Was kann schon schiefgehen? Man fragt, was passiert, wenn ich mich irre? Und das Ganze läuft über eine App mit einem Abo auf bis zu 10 Geräten. Laptop, Smartphone, Tablet oder Smart TV. Mit meinem Link nordvpn.com/wallstreet bekommt ihr aktuell den exklusiven NordVPN-Deal plus 4 extra Monate obendrauf und das Ganze mit 30 Tagen Geld-Zurück-Garantie. Den Link findet ihr wie immer in den Shownotes.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Werbung Ende.
Heute ist Dienstag, der 30. Juni. Herzlich willkommen zu einem weiteren Sonderpodcast, featured bei Handelsblatt, im Rahmen der Reihe mit der Foundation for the Study of Cycles. Wir sprechen mit einer echten Wall Street-Persönlichkeit, John Bollinger. Er hat die bekannten Bollinger-Bänder entwickelt vor vielen Jahren, die heute noch den Ton mit angeben, wenn es unter anderem um Marktbreite geht. Viel Spaß mit dem Interview, das auf Englisch geführt wird. Wenn ihr Untertitel haben möchtet, dann bitte bei mir auf dem YouTube-Kanal. Trader kennen die Bollinger-Bänder, aber nur wenige verstehen wirklich, was sie eigentlich messen. Wir sind in New York bei der Foundation for the Study of Cycles, eine Zyklenkonferenz, und wir sprechen mit John Bollinger, der Entwickler dieses technischen Indikators. Wir sprechen darüber, was Volatilität verrät, dass überkauft nicht automatisch auch verkaufen heißen muss und wie man die Bollinger-Bänder richtig einsetzt.
You have been an expert in options trading. And I mean, putting bands around price structure was already there. But what was missing in your terms and why have you developed those bands?
Well, when I started, we only used fixed width trading bands, typically a moving average shifted up and down by some percent. For the Dow, it was like a 21-day moving average and 4.5% up and down. But, you know, it's problematic. We were keeping charts by hand, so it was a lot of work. And, you know, if you, as the market condition changed, you'd have to change the width of the bands. And, you know, this was a terrible thing because if you were bullish, you'd paint a bullish picture with the bands. And if you were bearish, you'd paint it. So you're letting the emotions seep into the process. At the time, I was an option trader and I was very lucky. I had an early microcomputer and spreadsheet supercalc. And one day I copied the formula for volatility down a column of data, and I saw that it was changing over time. And I had the idea that maybe I could use this to set the width of the bands. And within just a few days, I had it all figured out, and it's never changed since. Yeah. So it's 43, 44 years now.
That's crazy. I mean, when I heard that we're going to meet you in the interview, would you have ever thought that Bollinger Bands would be such a widely used indicator on a global basis? Everybody pretty much knows your name in connection with Wall Street and finance.
So, no, obviously, I never thought that it would become widely used, but I did want it to be available to people. So I put it in the public domain when I created them. You could say I was the original open source kid. and people always ask me why they still work, right? And it's very simple. It's not a trading system. Right? It's just a tool.
How does the changes in the derivatives market affect your models? Because now we have a derivative market, you know, with all the zero DTE options and the gamma squeezes that we currently see in the market in certain tech sectors. Is that influencing the behavior of the Bollinger Bands more and in different ways that you maybe would have not expected?
I don't know that it's influencing the behavior of the bands, but it certainly is influencing how we use the bands. In other words, they work pretty well as specified. When we created them, we found that they contained about 90% of the data. People expect them to contain 95% of the data, but the data is not normally distributed. Finance stuff just isn't. So it actually contains about 90% of the data. And that's held remarkably true over time. The one thing that's changed is pretty funny. You know, it used to be if you varied the length of the bands from 10 periods up to 50 periods, you'd have to vary the width of the bands. But we don't have to do that anymore. And I can't explain why that's true. I've never figured it out. But now the, you know, plus or minus 2 standard deviations is pretty standard, regardless for any interval from 10 to 50 periods.
But talking about those length settings for those bands, which you just talked about. So one principle you always tell is question everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question.
No.
So instead of using a fixed length setting, let's use a different method, cycles or whatever, to have a more dynamic adjustment of the length.
So first of all, I think it's a great idea, and I'd like to see, you know, how it can be put to work. But second of all, you know, we do a little bit of that in that you can change the type of moving average you're using. We use a simple moving average, you know, it's a 20-period window or something like that. But sometimes we use an exponential moving average or front-weighted moving average or some other measure of central tendency. See, so we can get a little bit of adaptive like that. But I think the idea of pulling in some cyclical information to create a more dynamic set of bands would be great. What I mean, you know, we're already dynamically setting the width of the bands. Why not dynamically set the length of the bands as well? I think it's a terrific idea.
If someone uses Bollinger Bands, what should they combine them with? Like with momentum, volume, trend analysis?
The original thing that we did was we put them on the averages, you know, like the Dow. That's what we worked with back in the day. That was the average. Nobody really cared about the rest of them back then. And we kept two oscillators. One was based on advanced decline statistics, number of stocks up or down on the day. We kept a 20-period running total of that. And the other was up and down volume. We kept a 20-period total of up volume minus down volume as well. And those created supply-demand oscillators. So we would compare the action of price. Suppose you got up to the upper band and one of those indicators was negative. That's a sell alert, right? So, and I still think that that sort of approach is very, very useful in relation to Bollinger Bands. But the key is, you know, everybody wants to, you know, a hard signal, right? Sell here, buy there. You know, it doesn't really work that way if you want to be successful. in this business. What you really want to do is you want to use those as alerts and then wait for price to confirm. And when price confirms, then you take action because that dramatically improves your probability of success.
So in other words, overbought does not automatically mean you got to sell.
Absolutely not. You know what they say in a bull market? The signature of a bull market is it gets overbought and stays overbought.
What do you think is the biggest mistake people do when they look at your at the Bollinger Bands?
Automatically selling at the upper band, automatically buying at the lower band. I mean, with no other consideration, just, oh, it's up there, it's a sell, it's down there, it's a buy. That's a total mistake.
So what would you be looking, well, you already explained it, but what would you be looking for in detail as kind of like an early warning sign that markets might be turning from an oversold or overbought area?
A classic one is a W bottom. So you price comes down very hard, so hard that it gets outside the lower band. And then you bounce back in, and then price comes down and retests the low again. Very, very common formation and rallies. And we look at those two lows, and most people look at them on an absolute basis, right? But I prefer to look at them on a relative basis. So the first low is outside the lower band, and the second low is inside the lower band. We have an indicator for that. It's called percent B, and it tells you where you are in relation to the bands. So a classic W bottom is W is a new low in price, a new absolute low in price, which scares everybody, but it's not a new low in relation to the Bollinger Band. So you know it's a possible setup. And again, you wait for confirmation.
The Bollinger Band squeeze is one of the best known Bollinger Band setups. How would you explain it in simple terms?
I think the best known Bollinger Band setup is the squeeze, where volatility comes down very, very tight. And it's very low volatility is a forecast for high volatility. But my favorite is what we call the head fake. And that's where you come into to a squeeze. The bands get very tight together. Price gets all congested and all that. And, you know, they try to take it to the downside. And they go, and everybody looks around and says, nope, and goes the other way. That's my favorite setup.
But how do you trade this?
I just wait for the reversal. I just wait, you know, they go, wee, oops, mistake, whoop, right there.
John, maybe last question on that, because I've not been aware that you are so deep also in cycles. So you showed us today that you're rooted long-term also in that analysis. Mm-hmm. So maybe just one sentence about what is your experience and the root cause of cycles also using for technical analysis.
So the cycles that I use mostly in my work are the ones which I understand the motive core causes best. Those are the cycles I like. So I like the four-year cycle, the presidential cycle. It often has useful information. I like the annual cycle. I like the weekly cycle. There are certain days of the week that are stronger than other days. I find these very helpful as background information. You know, if I'm trying to buy something and I'm facing a period where there's likely going to be some weakness, you know, I know I can wait a couple of days. Or even if it's on a very short-term basis, I know I don't have to chase the price. I know the price is probably going to come back to me. So
patience is key.
Patience is key.
Patience is key.
And maybe
patience is key.
John, thank you very much. I appreciate your time, Lars. Thank you so much for setting this up.
Thank you.
I know you have to run to give your own speech now.
Yeah, that's fine. So thank you, John, for taking the time with us.
That's, you know, I can't important. Be late because he's going to speak next. So
wisdom, right?
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Und jetzt der obligatorische und BaFin-sichere Risikohinweis von Mr. Markus Koch.
Meine Damen und Herren, liebe Aufsichtsbehörden, ich darf Sie darauf hinweisen, dass die Inhalte in diesem Video ausschließlich der allgemeinen Information dienen und keiner Empfehlungen zum Erwerb oder der Veräußerung bestimmter Finanzinstrumente und somit keine Anlageberatung darstellen. Insbesondere können Wall Street Correspondents und der Vortragende nicht einschätzen, inwiefern die im Video gemachten Empfehlungen ihren Anlagezielen, ihrer Risikobereitschaft und Verlusttragfähigkeit entsprechen. Wer also auf Basis von Informationen in diesem Video etwaige Anlageentscheidungen trifft, trifft diese ausschließlich auf eigene Verantwortung und eigene Gefahr. Und das wiederum bedeutet, dass weder Wall Street Correspondent noch der Vortragende, das ist immer noch dieser Mann hier, für Verluste haften, die sie dadurch erleiden, dass sie Anlageentscheidungen aufgrund von Informationen oder Kommentaren in diesem Video getroffen haben. Vielen Dank für die Aufmerksamkeit und weiterhin einen erfolgreichen Handelstag.